Backseat Reality, Episode 1, Big Brother Season 10, Week Number 1. Welcome to Backseat Reality, where the backseat producers turn their world-famous skills of review and analysis away from movies and on to reality television. Here they are, the backseat producers. Hey, this is Tony.
And Julie.
And you're listening to not the backseat producers. This is something a little different.
We're hijacking the feed.
Yep, at least this once, maybe more often, depending on if we feel up to it, if the feedback is decent on it.
If he can convince me.
If I can keep you up late another night. This is like, you know, the one time a month that you'll stay up late. So the kids are in bed, so we're going to record. We've been talking about doing something like this for a long time. We're not sure exactly what we're going to call this. Probably something like Backseat Reality or specifically for this one, it's Big Brother. We're going to talk about the reality show Big Brother. The new season just started.
We're both into all kinds of reality TV. Me more so than Tony. He just gets dragged in for the ride while the TV's on.
Yeah.
He keeps insisting for about the last four seasons of Big Brother, I'm not watching it this year. I'm not. And every season he gets roped back in.
Because if not, then I lose you for 3 hours a week. I just completely miss out on that time. And you won't let me just run off upstairs and leave you with the kids. So
No way. Well, I don't know. Hey, that might be a plan.
You stay here with the kids watching Big Brother and I'll go upstairs?
No, you take the kids and let me watch Big Brother.
Then we couldn't talk about it.
But we're into all of them, Survivor and Amazing Race, Big Brother. So if turns out anybody likes this, we could keep it up and do other shows or a mix of everything. So make sure and give us your feedback.
If we like doing it.
Well, yeah.
If we like doing it, then maybe we will continue on with it.
Well, no, it's more important if everybody else likes it because...
No, not really. It's not. If I cared what everybody else thought, the podcast, Fanboy Smackdown and then Backseat Producers would have died a long, long time ago. and this one's probably going to be a little bit different with that. We were used to the peaks and valleys of subscriptions because not everybody has seen every movie, and if they didn't see the movies we were talking about, they wouldn't get that. Where if somebody's watching Big Brother, they're probably going to continue watching it.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see if we pick up some new listeners because of this, or maybe some people will get fed up and unsubscribe
and
because
quit.
Of this.
I can't take them anymore. Now they're going into reality TV.
They changed the name, and I thought it would get better, and it didn't.
Okay, so you want to jump into Big Brother?
Let's do it. So okay. This is Sunday evening that we're recording this. What is today, the 20th?
The second Sunday episode of Big Brother just aired.
Yeah, so we've gotten past the second nomination.
Right.
The first Sunday, we actually saw Jerry, the old man of the house, get tossed into the head of household.
Which is always a bad position to be the first head of household, poor guy.
Yeah, but I mean, it was kind of a natural choice. He was the one person that really kind of stood out, not in a negative way, just because of his age.
Yeah.
I think it was kind of probably one of the few times that the head of household is not going to be a detriment to him being the first head of household. He's not the kind of person that would capitalize on the power that he had, and he didn't. I mean, he seems to understand enough of the group dynamics in the show that he did not take advantage of that and just put up for nomination two people he just didn't like.
I've read that he's a huge fan of the show and that he's watched it every season, every episode of every season.
I think he mentioned once
in his
also.
Interviews.
Yeah.
So he's probably knows how not to nominate people to have a target put on his back. Because it turned out he did nominate two people that were fighting in the house, and his reasoning was let the house figure out who was bugging him the most and kick them out.
Well, yeah, and if people are frustrated by other members of the house, they become natural targets. It's real easy to put them up and deflect any interest or notice from you.
Did we kind of want to go through the cast and kind of tell a little bit what they're like? And
you know, I think we'll get to that as we go. I've listened to some other podcasts where they go through every person. It's, to be honest, it's kind of tedious.
Okay.
And, I mean, if you want to go through a few of them, that's fine. It just, to me, that kind of thing gets a little boring.
No, that's fine.
I think we'll kind of touch on them as we talk about them.
Except some of the lesser people are never going to get talked about with this many people in the house so far.
Well, they will eventually. They may not get talked about now, but it's going to be kind of like the way the episodes go. Early on, there's going to be some people that don't float to the top as far as what they're doing, how interesting they are at this point. So they don't get that much airtime on the show. By the same token, they won't get much airtime on this show. Because if we don't see them, what's the point in talking about them? I mean, ooh, did you see the way that Steve stood there in the background and looked pissy? I mean, what are you going to say? You know? I mean, if we try to touch on everybody just because they're in there, it's going to get old.
We should qualify that we don't get the live feeds. We don't... we're too cheap.
We record...
And don't have the time.
We record the Big Brother After Dark on the DVR, but we very seldom watch them. I like fast-forward through them just to see if anybody gets naked.
God. Such Which, perv.
last season, there was a good chance that somebody was. I mean... Though it was normally a dude.
Yeah, that's not the one you wanted to see.
No.
I know, I heard there was all kinds of stuff happened last season. I don't think they just knew to do it after the Showtime time.
Yeah, and you could see, I mean, and you can normally see if you watch the Showtime After Dark, when it gets really close to, like that, for us, we're Central Time, so it's the 2 a.m. Mm-hmm. For them, it's like midnight. When it gets really close to midnight, the people who are coupling up in the house, they start getting more snuggly. They start going toward the bedrooms. And it's like if anything's going to happen, they know to wait till just after that just because there's a lot bigger chance of them being seen by somebody as opposed, I guess, to the live feeds.
Right.
But, yeah, we don't have time for all that. We've got two kids. We watch 3 hours of this show a week as it is. That's enough.
Plus, on the Showtime, they tend to use a lot of language we don't want the five-year-old picking up. So,
yeah, because they edit nothing. It's kind of interesting, though, because if you see something blurred out, like a T-shirt blurred out, or like last season, the one guy with all the tattoos.
The brawny tattoo that they fuzzed out.
Okay. Yeah, he had a couple of tattoos that they fuzzed out. If you watch like the live feed or that Showtime feed, you get to see all that because they don't... I mean, it's live, so they can't necessarily fuzz stuff out or edit out the swearing. So, since we're not going to go through the cast, and we're just kind of, I guess, kind of talk about people as they come up.
Okay.
The first two people that came up for nomination were...
Jesse and Rennie.
Jesse the beefy guy.
And
he's
Rennie,
like a roid freak.
And Rennie the Cajun hairdresser.
Yeah, she.
And they got nominated because they picked some kind of childish fight. I missed it somehow. What happened?
I mean, from what I saw, it seemed like Rennie was going into a bedroom, and I could be wrong about this, but what I saw was that Rennie was going into the bedroom in the dark. She didn't know her way around. She was running into things and just kind of mumbling to herself and throwing out saint names. You know, just as kind of her form of swearing as she's bumping off of stuff. Well, apparently it woke Jesse up, and he was kind of pissy about it.
Went into a roid rage on her, huh?
Yeah. You know, if he went into a roid rage, she would have been clubbing her to death with her own bloody stumps of arms. He got this really pissy, you know, real childish fit about it and kind of stormed out of the room. And She followed him out and apologized and, you know, said, "I'm sorry, I didn't realize I was doing that." And I think at that point, she kind of thought it was over. And apparently, he held the grudge and either didn't think she apologized or forgot that she apologized or was dragging things out on purpose just because he didn't like the look of her face. I don't know. But,
so Jerry made the politically safe move and nominated Jesse and Rennie because he said he was going to let the House sort out who deserved to be kicked out.
Yeah, because they still seem to be kind of sniping about it. And it was probably, from the look of it, Jesse was sniping about it and Rennie sniped right back. She doesn't seem to be the kind to just, you know, let somebody say something. She's going to step right back and give as good as she gets. So
then the next time we saw, they had a veto competition, and the six players, I don't remember who all six were, Jerry, the two nominees, and three others.
Yeah, some other people.
They each got an assigned color, and they had to scoot under a pit full of honey and find teddy bears stuffed in pillows full of feathers. So there was sticky honey and feathers everywhere, and they had to find a teddy bear and get five or six teddy bears back under the honey. Whoever got all their found all their color coordinated teddy bears first won. Jesse ended up winning and took himself off the block. By then, the whole house had realized that Brian was making deals with just about everybody in the house. He had a deal with Jerry. He had a deal with Dan. He had a deal with.
He was actually Ollie. Playing. He seemed to be playing really smart in the first couple of episodes. He was
playing too quick though.
Yeah, it was way too early.
He was doing a month's worth of manipulation in 1 week.
And he even said so much. He said, you know, I played the first 3 weeks of the game in a week.
Yeah.
And it caught up with him. And, you know, people started talking. It was way too early. The lines all hadn't clearly been drawn as far as the alliances went. And I guess there's this budding romance between
April the Barbie doll.
April the Barbie doll and
Ollie. The preacher's kid.
Yes. And apparently she caught wind that Ollie was involved in some of this conversation and she felt slighted and got her panties in a wad and
that she was being the dumb girl being manipulated in a show romance by some guy and how was it going to look. And so she and Libra confronted Ollie.
Because, like, you know, jumping into bed with him in the first 10 days doesn't look bad.
So Libra and April confronted Ollie, who then fessed up to the whole thing of who was involved in what alliance and how Jerry, as head of household, was completely under Brian's thumb. So they managed to get the whole house involved, everybody except, I think, Brian and Dan, the Catholic school teacher guy, and I think Steven, the gay rodeo cowboy, weren't involved in this meeting. Everybody else went up to Jerry's room and confronted him and said, we want you to nominate Brian. He's playing everybody. We want him out. And Jerry felt really bad because I'm in alliance with the guy and I'm military and I keep my word and
well,
blah, blah.
And Brian was military and that's why he thought Brian was very trustworthy because he was in the military. He took that as a symbol of trust, as someone of character, being that they were in the military.
But Jerry took the safe road and backed out of that alliance and nominated Brian at the veto ceremony when Jesse took himself off.
And it was, I mean, it was necessary. If he wouldn't have done that,
he'd have had the whole house.
Yeah, he would have had 10 people against him. Jerry would have been up
right
this time around.
And Jerry is, I think, like 75?
Something like
oldest
that.
Oldest player in Big Brother history. He's been married like 55 years or something. Has great-grandchildren. Nice old man. You just can't root against Jerry at this point.
At this point, I mean, you never know. He could end up doing something to.
He's going to end up kicked annoying. Off. Poor old man. He's just.
I don't know if he plays it smart, and so far he has. I mean, that was he's in it to win. If he wasn't, he would have stuck with his alliance and not put Brian up. So I think I honestly think he's in to win, and that could end up getting him knocked out before just the fact that he's older.
So when the vote came down on Wednesday, it was 9-1, and Brian was kicked out. The only person that voted for him was Dan, his friend that was in his alliance. That's the Catholic school teacher.
Right.
So at the end of that episode, they had the head of house competition, mm-hmm. and Jesse won. Don't like Rich
well,
Boy.
And before that, there was a just because I don't know if this is necessarily a done fight. At one point, Renny and Jesse had another confrontation about the fight. And she came to him and said, look, you know, what can we do about this? And he said, all you've ever had to do is just apologize. And she, you know, she made a point of saying, I did apologize to you. If that's all you wanted, I apologize. I did that night and I will again. And Jesse seemed to be saying that, no, she didn't. What was funny is then the producers of Big Brother show us the confrontation again, and she did apologize.
Jesse just seems very immature, stuck on himself. And
well, let's talk about tonight's episode.
Well, I think that may become
a little more apparent. So tonight's episode, we have after Jesse wins, all the different alliances are scrambling to figure out what the next moves are. Jesse gets the key to the head of household room. Well, I guess Steven, the gay rodeo cowboy, is sleeping.
Which I apparently didn't even realize this at the time when they were showing it, that he wasn't there. There's still just so many people in the house, so when they're all one big group, it's hard to see who's not there.
Right. At this point, there's still 12 people. So they all went to look at the room except for Steven. I guess at some point he woke up while they were all up there, and he didn't choose to go up there.
Jesse's room is hysterical. I don't remember which one of them pointed out, but they pointed out that there was only one picture of him with friends. All the other pictures were him just posing with his muscles, posing with his car and his muscles.
Yeah.
They were just all very self-absorbed kind of pictures.
And for a guy, it's kind of weird. Just saying.
Not if you're a bodybuilder like that. I mean, he's very proud of each and every one of those muscles.
Yeah. Yeah, he's kind of a tool. I'm not a fan. Actually, I think Steven said as much as well.
He did.
This evening. So Steven doesn't care for him. That's obvious. And I guess it's the feeling's mutual between he and Jesse. Steven chose not to go up and see the head of household room.
He was sleeping, though.
Well, and then he chose not to after that. He didn't go up because everybody else was up there. Jesse then got his panties in a wad about. And
a couple different other people
choose to stick that against him.
Yeah. A couple other people try and go up to Jesse and make up for last week, either being on Brian's side or trying to campaign with Brian or whatever. Angie went up and tried to say, oh, we weren't really talking about the game when I was hanging out with Brian last week. It was just, we were just talking. I wasn't really campaigning. And Jesse was telling her that, no, I know you campaigned against me, and I know you were on Brian's side. So she was really worried that she was up this week. Dan also went to Jesse and said, look, I was just staying loyal to my friend, and, you know, I'm a loyal guy, and if I choose to have my loyalty with you, you can count on it, blah, blah, blah. So he thought he was safe, too.
Yeah.
Based on that conversation. I think Angie was more worried than Dan at this point.
I think Dan was worried. I don't think he really knew where he stood in it. Because I don't think he was in on that meeting where the hive mind got together to figure out
who's... Yeah, he was left out of that.
Yeah.
He was so tight with Brian.
Yeah, so at some point the collective gets together and decides that who's going to go up for nomination.
Jesse still really wanted Renny out.
Yeah,
because he's still mad about the
because he's waking he's him up afraid the he's afraid that Rennie's going to rat him out and going to actually get something on him.
The rest of the group, which seemed to be headed by April and Libra,
yeah,
wanted Steve and Dan out.
Yeah, and they're pushing to get Steve and Dan out. They didn't seem to be pushing so much to get Dan out as they're pushing to get Steve out because Steve is an obviously strong competitor. He came in second place, I think. Well, I think he was one of the other ones in the honey competition. Mm. And I think he came in really close on that one. He's proven to be a strong competitor in these other competitions.
Yeah, I think Steve and Memphis are the other two strong guys. Jesse, Steven, and Memphis are the three strong guys left.
Right. So the group wants to put up Steve and then put up Dan. Is it Dan? Yeah.
Dan the Catholic school
teacher. Dan the Catholic school teacher as... It almost seems like they're throwing him up as a pawn, but as a pawn that if they get rid of him, they're fine with it. It's not one of their own, so to speak. They're really pushing to get Steve out, though, from the way it looks.
Okay, so nominations come down, and...
And Jesse
and it's
goes with the hive.
Goes with the group, and it's Steven and Dan. But his reasoning was hysterical, because what he tells Steven is that his reason for nominating him is because he didn't come up and see his HOH room with everybody. He just sounded like a childish, petty baby.
Though I honestly think that was the reason.
And Steven even tried to say, I was sleeping. Nobody woke me up. I didn't know what was even going on. And Jesse's just like, well, yeah, but you didn't come up. He was just being a baby. And then he told Dan that it was because, you know, he couldn't trust Dan. Dan was obviously against him from the week before.
And he was.
Well, yeah. I mean, at least that made a little more sense than, you didn't come see my room.
Though it's really obvious that he is not in control of his own...
Jesse,
and it was obvious to Steven too.
These girls are behind everything,
and it was obvious to Steven.
April and Libra are running that
group, right? It was obvious to Steven too, because immediately afterwards they showed him in the diary room, and he said, "You know, this guy's a tool. In fact, he's a tool for other people in this house. He's being used as a tool."
Tonight,
in the most derogatory of senses.
Tonight, the one that seemed the most the sharpest, that I was most impressed with, and I never ever thought I would say this, was Keisha, the Hooters girl. Because
she's a Hooters girl.
Well, yeah, I know. I never liked the Hooters girl. Of course, now I can't say that, because in season 6, I thought I'd hate Janelle, too, and she was my favorite.
Yeah.
And has been. So, it's not that Janelle was a Hooters girl, but, you know, still the big, big boobs,
Bimbo.
Blonde, pretty girl. Yeah. And I usually hate them. So, I didn't think I'd like Keisha at all. Plus the name. And she was really sharp on the ball tonight, talking about how April and Libra are running everything.
She understands exactly what's going on.
She was really watching the dynamic and who's with who, and she was really sharp tonight. And it was all in the confessional. It wasn't in the diary room. It wasn't to anybody else. She's keep her mouth shut, which so far seems to be working.
Mm-hmm. I think Dan, the Catholic school teacher... They had a nice moment for him during this episode where they showed him talking to Steven and talking about him being gay and him being Catholic, and he was asking a lot of real honest questions. He was curious, he wanted to know, and there was nothing negative about it. It was just Dan even said, you know, I think I'm getting past some naivete and just understanding more about Steven. Just, you know, it's, I'm not, I don't look at him as someone who's gay. I just look at him as who he is.
Yeah.
So that was kind of cool of him. So that's.
Yeah, I kind of wondered how that dynamic was going to play out with both him and Ollie, the preacher's kid, if he would have some kind of bias against him too.
Ollie having a bias against Steven.
But so far, it doesn't seem to have really come into play. Even Steven said, well, I think everybody knows, but it hasn't even really come up.
I mean, depending on how strong they are in their religion, I mean, there's... Even in Christianity, there's people that divide up and don't like each other because the type of Christianity they follow. It's like, oh, well, you're Catholic. Whatever. Being raised Catholic, it was always funny because, you know, somebody would say, you know, what are you? And say I'm Catholic, and it's like, oh, well, I'm Christian. I am too.
I never understood that, but I was never as good a Catholic as you probably were.
I actually went to Catholic grade school for a while. So that said, then tonight's episode was really mostly about the food competition they had and the
nomination ceremony. Yeah, kind of on slop. I think that's where all of Keisha's insight came in, is she was kind of sitting back just watching the dynamic in the food competition about April and Libra blaming everybody but themselves about losing the food competition and being on slop. And,
right.
And they were turning around blaming Rennie for not filling up the bottles quick enough or whatever.
And well, and
I guess we didn't really talk about the food competition. I missed a lot of it. I was feeding a baby at the time.
Yeah, the food competition was kind of complicated. And without seeing it, I hope I do it justice here. There were three jobs that people had as part of the food competition. There was a tosser. I can't remember the exact names, but it was like one was a tosser, two were pluggers, and I think there were three fillers.
Those jobs could kind of sound dirty if you don't know what you're talking about. They could.
And the idea was that wine was being let loose into these huge barrels. The two pluggers were assigned to try to keep as many of the holes in the barrel plugged. A huge oversized barrel that they were sitting in, there were holes in the bottom of it. They were trying to keep as many of those holes plugged as possible. There was a green team and a red team. The tosser was digging into another barrel of corks, trying to find their team's color. If they found their team's colored cork, they could grab it, run to their team, and toss it into the barrel, and the folks inside the barrel could use that cork to plug up one of the many holes that there were. Then they'd still have to use their hands and feet to try and cover the others. Then the fillers were under the barrels, but they were under the barrel of the opposite team, trying to catch the wine as it was pouring out of the barrel. So if you were on the red team, if you were plugging holes for the red team, the green team was under that barrel trying to catch the wine. So if you managed to plug all your holes, the green team wasn't getting any wine, which basically ended up happening, except I think it was the green team that plugged all their holes.
Right. The red team lost. The red team was April, Libra, Keisha, Jerry, and Rennie. There's been one other person. They should have each had...
Was it Jesse? Did you say Jesse? I think Jesse was on
Jesse was on the team, too. And Keisha said before the game even started that April and Libra already whining and complaining that they had both Jerry and Rennie on their team. I guess they figured they were the two slowest people.
The weaklings.
Yeah. So they were already whining about it. And Keisha was great. She was like, Rennie did a great job. She was, you know, holding up her end of her job. And she was being really, really great for Hooters Girl.
And April was the one that was the tosser, and she kept running over and throwing it over everybody's head. So she ended up causing as much of their downfall as anyone.
And I think about half of that group was already on slop from last week. And so now they're on it again for the week.
I think half of either group would have been on slop from last week. So
I didn't remember how the slop group broke out from last week.
There were
going to
be people on it twice in a row either way. We've got it broken down now. We've got Jesse and head of household, Steven and Dan up for nomination. Tuesday night we're going to have a veto ceremony. A veto competition.
And ceremony.
And then the replacement nomination. Given what's happened so far, do you have any predictions? Any ideas how things could play out?
Well, it all depends who wins the veto at this point.
But I mean,
I would think if one of the two nominees wins and pulls themselves off, or if, you know, any nominees come off at all, I would think Rennie would go up just because Jesse hates her.
But I think it's going to be a difference if Jesse starts to feel controlled. Because I think at this point he's going along
with the
group. I can't
believe his ego is letting him be controlled by the group. And that's why I think he's still dying to put up Rennie.
I don't think.
And give it half a chance.
I think he's overwhelmed. I don't think he is strong enough a person to go against the crowd. Appearances are too important to him. Not just physical.
And this early in the game, it is good to keep going with the group, though. So yep. I mean, that is a good thing. Otherwise, you're gonna have the whole group turn on you.
Exactly. Yeah, and so I have a feeling that a lot of it's gonna fall down to. If he feels like if he ever gets to a point of feeling like the group is controlling him or making him do things that he doesn't necessarily want to do, then I think Rennie will go up if one of those two are able to pull themselves off the block. If they don't pull themselves off the block, I think Steven's gone because the group just sees him as a bigger threat.
Yeah, probably.
And until we see something otherwise, Granted, we haven't seen any of the live feed stuff or any of that. Without seeing any of that, it's going to be really hard to make any predictions beyond that.
Who do you like so far and not like so far?
I don't really care. I mean, I have a really hard time getting into the point of caring about people until there's a less than 10. Until there's less than 10. Everything's so random at this point.
You still have a hard time remembering all their names at this point.
I do. I have a hard time remembering their names till they're less than 6. Just because I don't care. I thought Brian was interesting, but I immediately saw that he was making too many plans way too early. He had the potential to do really well, but he overplanned. His ego got the best of him way too quickly. I think as far as the most potential, from what I saw this evening, Keisha, I think has a ton of potential. Just because she's kind of flying under the radar, but she obviously knows what's going on. She knows the score right now. And she's on the side of the Angels without being part of that hive mind. So she's part of that group that is the group that's in control of the house at the moment. But she's not
blindly following.
No, she's definitely not. I think she has the most potential of getting a secondary alliance going to knock them off their pedestal.
I like her. I like Angie. Angie seems to be in the other part of the group because she was kind of aligning with Brian last week, trying to see if there was a way to save him and keep him in.
And they wanted to get... I mean, Jesse was talking about putting up Angie, too, uh-huh. I think. Yeah. I think if Jesse...
She could be a replacement nominee this week.
If Jesse was left to his own devices, I think it would have been Angie and Rennie up for nomination.
April and Ollie are already bugging me with the whole showman's thing. It's way too early to start that kind of crap.
I think they both are...
That's bugging me
I think they're both also just trying to vibe for position with it.
Michelle's kind of been a nothing so far.
I don't even know which one that is.
The one with the really flat face. Looks like Amber the Crier from a couple seasons ago.
No.
With the big curly hair.
I got nothing. I don't remember at all.
And Memphis bugs me. The mixologist. The bartender.
Dude's a bartender and I'm stoic. I have no emotion because my dad left. My dad, who when I was 2 left, called me when I was 15 and then told me he was dying and now I have no emotions. It's like, dude, quit being so emo. Sorry.
And you know, I read somewhere his real name's Robert. He named himself Memphis as some kind of nickname.
Because he's a bartender.
And of course I love Jerry.
Yeah, I mean, I have a hard time getting too attached to Jerry because I don't...
He's not going to be around. Of course, I thought the same thing about Evil Dick last summer, too. I thought he wouldn't be around.
Dick's awesome. Evil Dick is so awesome. He is.
That's not why I was laughing. I was laughing at how you could isolate that, and I could use that to blackmail you.
Dick is awesome. And you agree.
Oh, gosh.
You like Dick, don't you?
I refuse to say anything that you can use to blackmail me.
I can edit this audio. If you have said yes at any point here, I've got it covered. We're not really sure how the release schedule this is going to go yet. We've talked about it doing it a couple different ways, but this is the first time we actually sat down to record. We're not sure if it's best.
We think the Tuesday night would be best. We just don't know if that's feasible with our schedule.
It's not realistic.
To get it out in time.
Because, yeah, I mean, we'd have to record it Tuesday night. I'd have to turn around, edit the audio, dump it out. I mean, it's a ridiculous turnaround time.
True. Sorry, I just have to sit here and talk. I don't do any of that other background stuff. I get to go to bed.
Yeah. I'm thinking what we may end up doing is more kind of, you know, backseat producing and doing more analysis after the fact than talking too much about
predictions
and stuff. I think we can talk about predictions now just because of where it's at. We have nominations. I think it might be better for us to record like after the Wednesday night show. after we have an eviction, we can talk about the past week, kind of go through what happened.
Do the post-game show.
Exactly. Exactly. The armchair quarterbacking, if you will. Monday morning analysis. Plus, I mean, we then have the opportunity to see, for most of the shows, we'll know who the head of household is until they do those ridiculously long competitions that you have to wait a couple of days to find out who it is. Unless we just wait and watch the feed.
Yeah.
But then we could be spoiling it for people who don't necessarily want that. If we get the episode out sometime, but I mean, plus it gives us the biggest gap between episodes, Wednesday to Sunday. You guys may or may not be interested in hearing all that jabbers. But it's something we're considering, so if anybody has any feedback on that, we're more than willing to listen.
Or feedback in general, whether we should even keep doing this or not. That might change the recording schedule completely.
Nah, we'll keep doing it. At least for a while. And depending on how we like doing this, the schedule we fall into, we could end up doing this for other shows as well. I mean,
we watch them all.
Oh dear God, do we?
Even down to Sheer Genius.
I don't watch that one with you.
You watched it with me the other day.
No, I was in the room while you had it on the other
you
day.
You were commenting on it.
How can I not? Dear God, how can you not comment on some of the stuff those people say? Though I don't know that people would necessarily want to hear my commentary for some of these shows. Every episode would have to be marked explicit. So is there anything else you wanted to add?
I don't think so.
If you want to leave us some feedback, you can send it to Tony at backseatproducers.com, Julie at backseatproducers.com.
We're on Twitter. I need more Twitter people.
Yeah, we are both on Twitter. Let's see.
What's my Twitter name?
I don't remember. Isn't it just your name?
I think it's just Julie Mast. Yeah.
I think so. And mine's just Tony Mast. And you can send voicemail. The number is, let me see if I can remember this, 618-207-4747. If you don't remember it, you can come to the website. There's also a call me button. It's pretty cool. You can click the button, put in your phone number. It will call you, and you can leave us a voicemail without calling us. So if you want to use your house phone, you can do that. You don't have to use long distance minutes or anything like that. It will call you, and you can leave us a voicemail that way as well. Or you can come right to the website and leave comments right on the individual episode. And I think that's going to be all for this evening.
Okay.
See you next time.
Good night.